This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, hello, America. It's the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, and let us hear from you, okay? Drop me a line, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. It comes to me direct. Well, the Democrats are rallying around Elizabeth Warren after the senator was silenced at the Sessions nomination debate. She went on and on, decided that she wanted to read a letter from Coretta Scott King that was not necessarily favorable and, you know, about Jeff Sessions, to say the least. And she was warned, you know, not to go on. I mean, she was quite, I guess, in a haranguing spirit, and was chastened by the leader, and they eventually brought the hook. But here's more on that story right now. Listen.
Mr. President,
the Majority Leader.
The Senator is impugning the motives and conduct of our colleague from Alabama, as warned by the Chair. Senator Warren, quote, said Senator Sessions has used the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens. I call the Senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Mr. President.
Senator from Massachusetts.
Mr. President, I am surprised that the words of Coretta Scott King are not suitable for debate in the United States Senate. I ask leave of the Senate to continue my remarks.
Is there objection?
Objection.
I appeal the ruling.
Objection is heard. The Senator will take her seat.
Mr. President.
Well, that's the way it came down last night. Elizabeth Warren was silenced. Of course, she wanted to sit on, you know, the words of Coretta Scott King. And, of course, that will get some highlight, and people will, you know, read, you know, what Elizabeth Warren was trying to finish in the argument on Sessions' nomination for Attorney General. And he is expected to be confirmed. You know, according to this report from Fox News, you know, Elizabeth Warren was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted, the leader said. Her supporters later used a hashtag. What was it? She persisted as a rally cry. Bernice King, the daughter of Coretta Scott King and Martin Luther King, wrote on Twitter, "Thank you at Senator Warren for being the soul of the Senate during the hashtag Sessions hearing." Others would say the Democratic National Committee said whatever remnants are remaining right now until they get reordered, you know, commented, and we're quoting, "It's a sad day in America when the words of Martin Luther King Jr.'s wife are not allowed on the floor of the United States Senate." And I think it's one thing to have them on there, but when they're being used to manipulate, I think that was the problem. And that is what was subject to the interpretation of the Senate rules, and it was invoked by the leaders appropriately. Go ahead.
She's also, it's not the first time that somebody's been silenced. For 8 years, I forget who it was, but it might have been Rubio that came out and said, look, they told me to be quiet many times.
Right.
Many times.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, and you know, this is the process, and, you know, and there's no question with, you know, Jeff Sessions as Attorney General has been rather spirited. Race has been thrown in. I mean, we saw what happened in the confirmation hearings when you had two sets of three gentlemen, one a standing senator who a year earlier lauded the praises of one Jeff Sessions, and then suddenly now for the confirmation hearing came out and, you know, tried to come up with something and trump up, you know, some things that were just, you know, I don't know, unrealistic, unfair. And, you know, John Lewis is a iconic civil rights leader. Things that he had to say, you know, seemed very shallow compared to the other three men who actually worked, had direct experience working with Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, and, you know, before in his state ruling, and they said he was more than fair-minded, and there was no inkling of any kind of racism with Jeff Sessions. It looks like, though, he will be approved. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. Welcome to the good fight, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to be easy, especially what we saw last night on the West Coast in Berkeley. I'm here in California these days, and it's rather disheartening. I don't know if you've been to the campus there, but if you have, it is a beautiful campus. It is one of the, I would say, great institutions for learning there. But the expression that was demonstrated on television last night, greatly unacceptable. Bill Fetters with us, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. And I would say, Bill Fetter, that America's noble heritage was not necessarily on display last night in Berkeley.
Well, you're right, and one of the things that I think people are beginning to look into is who is paying for all this. Mm. And more we're finding individuals' names come up, like George Soros.
Right.
And I lived a half an hour from Ferguson. We've since moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Mm. But 99% of the people rioting in Ferguson were not from Ferguson. They actually advertised in Chicago papers for rioters. Joined Missourians organizing for reform and empowerment, and even right. Snopes acknowledged that George Soros gave $33 million to more Missourians organizing for reform and empowerment. And what did they do? They smashed cars, they smashed windows, they held hands across an interstate highway. I mean, poor people don't get the idea of holding hands across an interstate
right.
highway.
Exactly.
Somebody's organizing this.
And well, the sign, I love the signs. I love the signs. They're all professionally printed up. And I mean,
many t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's incredible. I mean, all the signature is there that it's not the poor people of Ferguson putting this together. And, in this particular case, what amazes me, Bill, is that the police, law enforcement, and that in these different areas, they have to know when somebody is coming in, and they've got to be prepared and set up some sort of perimeter. They cannot just allow these people to come in, and they're going to find out the same thing, you know, to your point, when they study this and break it down, that the people that caused the damage and the people, and there were a lot of people on that campus that were not from Berkeley.
And then we're finding Black Lives Matter, and the funding can be traced back to individuals like George Soros. Mm-hmm. And the hands up, don't shoot. And the Missouri had the protests on campus, right, beginning of the Safe Spaces.
Right.
And then even the Women's March in Washington, D.C., the 50
recently.
Groups
yeah.
had funding from George Soros. Mm-hmm. And the Nebraska, not only are they being paid in Nebraska to protest, the state of Nebraska is now considering demanding that the protesters pay state income tax, because everyone knows They're getting paid to protest.
Right.
And we see this over and over again, the anti-Trump riots. Somebody's paid, somebody's instigating this. And I was reading a quote from David Axelrod, and he was President Obama's campaign advisor.
Sure.
In 2010, he was on NPR radio, and he said, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition. Throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent of doing it. And it's this idea that they create the crises because they want to push their agenda. They're blaming their opponents for it. And it's called psychological projection, psychological projection, where it's blame shifting, where the attacker blames the victim. So if you're a corrupt politician, maybe getting billions of dollars from Soros and Muslim sheikhs, you accuse your opponent of being involved with rich people. If you're involved in, you know, child sex rings and it's on a computer that Anthony Weiner has and pedestrians of islands that they have all kinds of child prostitution type things, you want to focus on your opponent and say he's the one that's, you know, immoral. And it's a strategy that works because it puts the innocent person on the defensive. They get the headlines. There's something in the press called word association.
Right.
So if your name is in a paragraph with another word that's negative, wife beating, immoral, in the people's mind, they glance through the article, they see your name, they see that, and it repeated over and over, this association is connected. And even if you're denying it, even if they say it's not true, it's in there. And so when it finally comes out that you're not the bad guy, the other one is, the one that's throwing the accusations. By that time, the public is worn out.
Yeah, the damage is done. Sure.
Exactly.
The impression
campaign
has been made. Yeah, and this is mainstream media has added to the culpability of this bill, as you know, because they will subtly throw a line in there, and then another writer will come alongside and turn it into a headline. And then it just becomes fact, as President Obama would say. It's just, it's indisputable. It's a fact.
Well, this, I experienced this. I wrote a book years ago called America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, 845 pages of God and Country type quotes. So I'm on the board of a university with Ben Carson, and we're talking, and he says, hey, I'm more interested in writing a book on America. He finally did, called it America the Beautiful. He and his wife co-wrote it. I says, well, here's my book. I hand him a copy. I said, I'll help you. And so his wife emails me back and forth, sends me the manuscript, sends me the final draft, has me read through it. They're so nice. They credit me 16 times. They even have a little line, special thanks to William Federer. BuzzFeed said that Ben Carson plagiarized me in his book.
Oh, wow.
And BuzzFeed releases this, and the other ones pick up on it, ABC, and this becomes, quote-unquote, the news story for about a week. And so I wrote an article, published in the National Review, and the title was Ben Carson Did Not Plagiarize My Book, and I go through it. I cite all 16 examples. I give those quotes, and it throws water on there. But if I had not written that,
right,
they would have gone off to, hey, this you know, great brain surgeon plagiarized.
Yeah.
That is what you were talking about. They get some discredited fake news place like BuzzFeed to introduce this, and then, boom, the other ones pick up the headlines and they run with it. And the common person on the street, they just see this name association.
Exactly.
You know, this person and the word plagiarized. So then they implant it in their brain. It's a strategy that works. And the thing is, we need to educate ourselves. And when we see this being played out, say, wait a second, it's the person throwing the accusation that's the guilty one.
Exactly. Yeah, the person that's lighting up buildings and rocks through windows, all this
and so on
crazy
campuses,
stuff.
Yeah. You know, on campuses, it's the people that are protesting the speaker. They are the intolerant ones.
Right.
Who's the intolerant ones here? When Muslims demonstrate and they say, well, you're being intolerant. It's like, wait a second. You're wanting to forbid any speech that is not complimentary of your beliefs. So you are the one engaging in intolerance. You're the one that's engaging in censorship. You're the one that wants to limit people's freedoms. And it is a strategy called blame shifting. where the attacker blames the victim. Every little kid knows how to do this. I'm not the mean one. You're the mean one.
Exactly.
Bullies on a playground will push everybody else around.
Well, they'll do that which they get rewarded for. And up to now, Bill, they've been rewarded time and again. America needs to decide if this is the end of it all. And it's time to really exercise our First Amendment right in a way that works for both sides. And so we have to let freedom ring here. Bill Fetter is with us.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-340-5528. That's 800-340-5528. Again, 800-340-5528.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
Let freedom ring. Let the white dove sing. Let the whole world know that today is the day of reckoning.
At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will rediscover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice.
Let freedom ring.
We're back with you. It's about 20 minutes after the top of the hour. A conversation with Bill Federer continues. Bill Federer, I'll tell you, it is really a challenge for America to understand that there are diabolical forces, and they're slowly but surely waking up. You know, they hear the name George Soros. They hear Bill Ayers. Here's some of these other, liberal thoughts that come by the way. And they're starting to kind of get it, because some of this, insanity, like political correctness, if you let it grow, it mushrooms to such a degree that before you know it, you don't even know what you're thinking anymore.
Well, one of the books I just finished, it's called Who is the King in America?
Mm-hmm.
And I go through an overview of 6,000 years of the world's history, and I demonstrate how America is unique. And, of course, the beginning of writing was around 3 or 4,000 B.C., cuneiform in Mesopotamia, which is today Iraq. So 3 or 4,000 B.C., we're around 2,080, that's around 6,000 years of recorded history. 6,000 years is not long. It's only 60 people living 100 years each, back to back, right? We've all met someone who's lived 100 years, maybe a grandmother. Mm. We're talking 60 grandmothers, and you're all the way back to the beginning of recorded human history.
Amazing.
And so it's not that long. And so the question I ask is, what's the most common form of government? Well, let's see. There's pharaohs and Caesars and sultans and Alexander the Great, 5,000 years, 18 major Chinese dynasties ruled by emperors, Roman emperors, Byzantine emperors, Muslim sultans, king of Spain, France, and Austria. But the most powerful king was the King of England. When America's founders decided to split, they wanted to flip it and make the people the king. And so a republic is where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. And so if there's a whole lot of problems in the country, look no further than yourself. You're
exactly.
The king.
Right.
They're your representatives. You don't just have the right to vote them in. You're going to be held accountable to God for what they do. You hire a banker, you hire a trash collector, and you hire a politician. They're carrying out your will. You're paying them. You're accountable. Anyway, I look through history at the rare examples of republics and how they fail. And so the first instance of a republic where a people rule themselves without a king was ancient Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Around 1400 B.C., they come out of Egypt, come into the Promised Land, and for 400 years, there's no king. Everyone is equal before the law. And the law says there is no respect of persons in judgment. Why is that significant? Because where there's a king, if you're friends with the king, you're more equal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not friends with the king, you're less equal. And if you're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason, or you're a slave. The hierarchical structure of society. In ancient Israel, there was no king. Everyone was equal. It's the beginning of the concept of equality. Anyway, it worked as long as the priest taught it. When the priest stopped teaching the law, the rubber band snapped back. They got King Saul. But one story I wanted to focus was right before it fell, it was cratering. There was a guy named Abimelech, illegitimate son of Gideon. He goes to a town called Shechem. He takes 70 pieces of silver from the temple of Baal-berith, and he hires vain and worthless persons to go out and murder the sons of Gideon so that he can make himself king. So we got somebody taking money, buying agitators. Let's fast forward to ancient Greece. Athens. There's Philip of Macedon to the north, the father of Alexander the Great. He's conquering city-states. People in Athens are waking up, saying, we got to get our defenses. Philip bribed some citizens of Athens to betray their city. And they would get into the market, they'd all be talking politics, and they'd say, wait a second, Philip's not such a bad guy. I hear he's liberating these cities.
Right.
And these paid propagandists would gather around them, useful idiots who would believe their lies and confuse the city. And so Philip was able to conquer it. So again, you got somebody taking money, gold, and buying the allegiance of some low-level people. And then the third story, Rome was a republic for 500 years. SPQR, Senatus Publicus Romanus, they had 600 senators. But a guy named Julius Caesar, he was a, his family was bankrupt. He joined the military to escape debt collectors, conquers in Europe, and now he wants to be involved in politics, does an under-the-table deal with two rich guys, Pompey and Crassus. Crassus dies. Now it's a tug-of-war between Caesar and Pompey. Now Pompey has money. Caesar does not. Caesar goes into Rome, raids the Temple of Saturn, takes 400 years of stored-up gold to buy supporters against Pompey. He said, use money to get men, use men to get money. Mm-hmm. And now we fast forward to Machiavelli. So hopefully if people will be following me here.
Yeah, they're all taking, we're all taking notes here, Bill Federer, right now. This is great history. Good job. All right.
So 500 years ago, Italy was a bunch of city-states. Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence, Siena. They all had armies and navies and fought. Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop the infighting. He writes a book called The Prince, saying the ends justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling all of Italy is so good, any means necessary to get there is justified. By cheap steal. So if a prince conquers a city, they would hate him. But if the prince pays criminals to kill cows, burn barns, create terror, the people would cry out for help.
Exactly.
The prince would come in, kill the very criminals he bribes. Nobody would know the better for it, and they'd all praise the prince as a hero. So it's good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire, and you go around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher. They'll pay anything for it and thank you for being there.
It's brilliant.
Machiavellianism.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you create or capitalize on a crisis to consolidate control. Remember Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste?
Right.
That influenced someone named Hegel in Germany, Prussia. Napoleon conquers Prussia real easy. The king said, we need to strengthen the state. Hegel's dialectics, it's a triangle. One corner is a thesis. The opposite is an antithesis, antithesis. Mm-hmm. And the top corner is a synthesis. Sounds complicated, but it's not. In other words, you start off and then you create a problem that's real bad. And everybody is happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad.
Yeah.
And then that becomes the new thesis. You create another problem that's real bad, and everybody's happy to settle for your answer. That's half as bad. This inspired Karl Marx. And how did you create the antithesis, the real bad problem? You would send in labor organizers, community organizers, agent provocateurs, provoking agents. Their job? Create a crisis. They would find the tension lines, the fault lines, the people who felt like they've been victimized or been slighted or wronged, and you go to them and stir them up, saying, you want what they have, follow me, you'll get it.
Exactly.
Now, it works best if the people are not Christian. Mm-hmm. Even Napoleon said, religion is what keeps the poor from murdering the rich. So if you have poor Christians, they'll just suffer. But if you get rid of that, all you got is raw human passion. And so they would organize the proletariat against the bourgeois, the working class against the business owners. They would organize the blacks against the whites, the Protestants against the Christians, the Muslims against the Christians. They would organize the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda. They really don't care who the two sides are or what the issues are. They just want a destabilizing domestic crisis that's so bad that everybody surrenders their freedoms to some dictator promising to fix it. And so 45
get to be the hero of the day.
Communist dictators this way.
Yeah. Well, we're down to about 20 seconds here, Bill.
And so anyway, so here we flash forward to Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton did her senior thesis at Wellesley College, all in on him. Obama was a Saul Alinsky advisor. Saul Alinsky rode around with Al Capone, Hitman, Frank Nitti. So all you had to do was kill a few people, and the whole neighborhood would freak out and surrender their freedoms to somebody promising to fix it. Alinsky applies this to politics.
It just keeps on cycling, doesn't it? Bill Federer, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now. Good stuff.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Hello, Belly Flattening Helpline.
Hi, is this the number for the free trial of that belly flattening breakthrough, Somabiotics?
It is. We're giving away free trials to anyone, male or female, who's over 18 and wants to flatten their belly fast.
I heard that Somabiotics is so effective, it can actually cleanse pounds of sludge from your belly. Is that true?
Sure is. Somabiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux, so you'll look and feel great. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day.
Wow, I'm glad I called.
If you're over 18 and want to flatten your belly fast, call now for a free trial of Somabiotics. 1-800-957-5396. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving these trials away for free. 1-800-957-5396. If lines are busy, try again. That's 1-800-957-5396.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Confrontation is trying to connect to say, hey, can you hear me now? And I think that's the thing that kind of keeps cycling back, is that we're talking through one another, not necessarily talking with one another. But if we're going to have a conversation, then, you know, there's some things that we need to respect. I mean, first of all, we want to, you know, you got to want to communicate. You got to want to have a conversation with somebody to begin with. If there's any hope for any kind of communication, that's what needs to happen. But certainly, you know, what's on display here politically is how not to do it in so many ways. Although I got to say, I was encouraged last night. I don't know if you had a chance to see that town hall and, you know, that CNN had sponsored. So good on them for doing that with that involved Bernie Sanders and Senator Ted Cruz, both senators talking about Obamacare, about, you know, healing our dysfunctional national health care system and what has happened here. So, you know, I think we'll get through it, you know, as long as we stay sober and respective and civil. We need to, on behalf of the people that have been, you know, objects of this dysfunction. It just has not been appropriate and rather frustrating. And here we are, you know, we're back to do it again because it wasn't done right the first time. And that's what happens when you try to do things too quickly. And, you know, maybe that might be some of the consideration that this new administration needs to take heed and consider, is that, you know, is that as quick as he wants to be, and understanding, as we've touched on today, is that you have this closing window of opportunity. I mean, it's amazing. We just had the election and they're already talking about, you know, like David Drucker brought up this morning, David, of course, with the Washington Examiner, brought up this morning is that, look, we got midterm elections just around the corner. So this is this closing window that, I guess in a sense, Democrats may be doing what they can to stall and delay anything, or most anything this, president will do. And this, you know, Republican controlled, bicameral houses so that they can, you know, hopefully have another shot and another bite at the apple. But meanwhile, you know, the people have entrusted the Republican Party to make some things happen. So we'll see how that comes along. And I would say for you to continue to do your part, because this is a government of, for, and by we the people. Hey, Greg Roman is with us right now. He functions as the chief operations officer for the Forum, responsible for management, communications, and financial resource development. Greg previously served as director of the Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh. Greg Roman, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about extreme vetting. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about, and I think may be problematic with this whole process and the framing of extreme vetting, but, you know, extreme vetting, we need to understand, that's the way Donald Trump talks, you know. Everything is extreme. It's all hyperbole. But, you know, and sometimes he makes us, he puts us all in a situation of where we have to translate and understand Trump speak. And when he says extreme vetting, you know what I'm saying? You know, this is, I guess, what I'm trying to understand in the first 3 weeks of his presidency and having gone through the campaign is that everything is an 8-second soundbite. It's a billboard. It's attention getting headline. That's what he seems to operate on. And the unfair thing about extreme vetting is that people want vetting, you know. And when you say extreme, then all of a sudden we're talking about this other stuff than the real core of what is the issue with immigration and refugees coming to this country. And that is, we need to know who's coming in the country, right?
Right. I mean, if you just look at the background of the vetting issue itself, this goes back to a report that the Obama administration actually acted on when we had ISIS cells, Deir al-Zor in Raqqa, Syria, stealing a Syrian government passport machine and printing out tens of thousands of false passports that were then used by refugees and emigres and infiltrators, whatever you want to call them, to get into the European Union. So you had Afghanis, Iraqis, Iranians, all stopping by in ISIS-controlled territory, paying $5,000 to $10,000 and getting a Syrian government-sanctioned passport that wasn't actually given by their government. So the first thing to do is to recognize that there is a problem. There's seven countries that do not cooperate with the U.S. In terms of security cooperation. If we look at a Western country like the U.K. or France, we exchange information about our passport holders, about, you know, Interpol notices, about intelligence sharing. But you can't have that same expectation from a country where there's a civil war like Yemen or Syria, or another country that has a failed state like Somalia, or a mortal enemy of the United States like Iran. So first, let's acknowledge that there's a problem.
Right.
The solution to that problem is what Trump calls extreme vetting, which means that we're not permanently disallowing individuals from these countries from coming into the United States. There's exceptions for the disabled, for diplomats, for torture victims, from the elderly, single mothers, young children. There's still a very humane approach to U.S. immigration as regards these countries and others. But there's a heightened level of scrutiny that was adopted by the Obama administration on the visa waiver program that was enacted last year and was implemented in December of 2016. And that has now been extended to refugees and new immigrants, student visas, work visas, by the Trump administration. Remember, it's a temporary ban. It's not a permanent disavowal of Muslims from being able to come to the country.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, and that seems to be very clear. I mean, even to the point, Greg, that Europeans are saying, hey, look, we want Trump's proposed policy operated in our countries. But yet we have judges here in the United States that somehow think that they're supposed to, you know, legislate from the bench, evacuating, you know, what is the constitutional right of the president. I mean, he just had his hand on the Bible not that many weeks ago, vowing to protect, you know, the citizens of this country. And so he acts on that. And you've got one, in this case, I mean, there's a couple of rogue judges, and also based on some of the questions that were being asked by the Ninth Circuit in the review of the complaint yesterday, boy, it leads you to believe, is where's the disconnect here?
I think this is a question of process, not of the spirit or of the legality of the order itself.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been reviewed less earnestly by the Office of Legal Counsel and the Justice Department, by the relevant authorities at the National Security Council. There is a way to do this that first meets the burden of constitutional and judicial review, and then also to get the policy successes associated with this, at least in terms of what he's attempting to accomplish. The Middle East Forum, the organization that I run with Daniel Pipes, our president,
right,
put out a report last week called Smoking Out Islamists, the constitutional way to do extreme vetting.
Mm-hmm.
And the process itself will be expensive. It'll take a long time to implement. But there are ways to be able to discern who's dangerous and, you know, who's acceptable for the country.
Right.
So if the administration gets checked by the judicial branch, and I understand where the judges are coming from, they're taking, you know how you can take one letter or one word from a ruling or from an executive order and then interpret it the way that they wish to interpret it?
Right, exactly.
I think if they go back to the drawing board, and you see a lot of different actions, at least planned by the administration, to really take on Islamism and rogue states and terror organizations, this is just one policy recommendation of, I think, dozens that are going to come out over the next 100 days. If you go back to the drawing board and you look at ways in which the United States hasn't acted in order like this before, this is the seventh iteration of a president using executive authority or using powers granted to him by the Immigration and Naturalization Act or previous immigration-related legislation, going all the way back to 1870, that I think has happened. And every time the courts, if it's gone to the Supreme Court, have ruled in favor of the president.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the long road of history of U.S. immigration, and when we were dealing with some less proud times in our country's history, mm-hmm, I think that this will meet the judicial test of constitutionality. It's just,
well, great.
You have to let the debate play out.
Well, we got to go to break, and I want to expand on this just a little bit more when we come back. Our conversation with Greg Roman continues. This is Bill Martinez. We're live looking at 18 before the top of the hour.
I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Greg Roman continues. He's the Chief Operations Officer for the Forum, responsible for management, communications, and financial resource development. Greg, as we were talking earlier, in terms of this vetting process, the rule of law, and what I think most of us are hoping for is that the president's executive order is upheld. It is something that is it's constitutionally clear. It would seem that based on the president's advisors, is that this was well vetted. So it's a matter of, the interpretation right now. It's in the hands of the Ninth Court, but probably on its way to the Supreme Court. What do you think?
I think that the judge that was asking some of the questions in the hearing regarding the constitutionality of this provision raised some inappropriate pathos-based rhetoric, where she said we have to look at the intent of the president based on his campaign speeches to then interpret the reason why he's putting this policy forward. The big difference between electioneering and then when an individual takes the oath of office and swears to uphold the Constitution.
Right.
I'm not saying that we should discount what President Trump said on the trail. He's actually trying to fulfill one of his campaign promises for extreme vetting right now. But the process by which he went about drafting this executive order and putting it forward had all the spirit and the intent of not just complying with the law, but also ensuring American national security concerns
Correct.
Be alleviated as it relates to our immigration process. So just the way in which he was going about questioning the president's intent, I don't think that that really has a lot of room, especially considering that intent has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has everything to do with the letter of the law rather than what she believes is the spirit of the law.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this has been part of the argument is, people want to insist that in their worldview that what the president is trying to do is put into play some religious litmus test. Well, if that was the case, it would have been only targeted for Muslims, but it's targeted for the entire country for the very point that you made earlier. And that's what people need to get a hold of and understand that we're talking about failed or failing states. Now, and as you described perfectly, what goes on is these people have taken over the government resources of these
seven different countries that were cited by, even by President Obama. They realized, the administration previously realized clearly that this was a problem. We could not count on the information that was coming. We knew the documents had been compromised. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just let them have full access to this country with these, you know, we don't even know if these documents are legitimate or illegitimate, but there's a big question mark on them. And then how do we vet these people that are coming in when the resources that would normally be available in an established country where it says, hey, Greg Roman wants to come to town. Is Greg Roman everything that he says he is? And now we've got verification to validate that, in fact, everything that you say about yourself is true and that we understand. And now we can feel a little bit more comfortable about letting you into the country. I don't see that as a big issue. And I think the majority of Americans, according even to Rasmussen, agree that that is not a problem. So it's how do we get there? How do we exercise and protect the country as, you know, President Trump has promised to do and is earnestly trying to fulfill his campaign? How do we get there to where we're not, you know, creating constitutional issues down the road? That's what I want to hear from these judges, not their opinion.
Right. So I think that the temporary ban has some exceptions in it that are noteworthy to mention.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that there's large leeway for the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Homeland Security to make humanitarian exception
mm-hmm.
to this rule. So it's not as if though there's an absolute impermeable ban on the entry of individuals whose cases merit the entry to the United States. Now, the rollout could have been done better. Let's acknowledge that
right.
there was some bumps along the road. But the underlying principle of trying to reform the American immigration system as it relates to the entry of individuals from these countries from war-torn areas needs to be reviewed. The holes have to be patched, and then the system can be enacted again.
Right.
And whether that's through legislation, whether it's through introducing profiling, which I know that some individuals may have an issue with, but there's less constitutional protections which are afforded to non-citizens than the citizens themselves.
Yeah, right.
Put Americans
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if there is a question on the allowance to allow an individual to enter this country, we have to err on the side of caution. We
exactly.
can't have an open heart. If you looked at a report that Senator Sessions put out, almost Attorney General Sessions mm-hmm. put out back in June of 2016, of the 453 cases, or somewhere around 450, 460, 440 of terror-related incidents, 350 of them emanated from since 9/11. 350 of them emanated from individuals born in another country.
Right.
So the stats are on our side. And then when they make the statistic saying that no foreign individual ever committed an attack on U.S. soil, I just tell them to look at San Bernardino.
Yeah. How do they
Tennessee or Ohio? I don't mm-hmm. know where they're getting their news from. But there's government documents from the Obama administration which point to radical acts that were committed by individuals led into this country that were not subsequently vetted hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Boston. I mean, you know, these
yeah.
are not – I mean, you go on, and of course, even to this day, you got over 1,000 open investigations by the FBI in every state of the union pursuing, you know, a potential terrorist. So you know, I think we're trying to over-exercise ourselves against logic and some sort of unreal universe. I don't know what the color of the sky is in their universe, but it's not consistent with reality here. But, you know, getting back to the point of you know, the people that supposedly that are kind of given standing, I think in a broad sort of way, you know, by this Ninth Court, you know, the state of Washington is saying, you know, that there was harm done to these people. Inconvenience, but I'm not sure harm. Isn't there a difference?
I mean, I think that the harms test, according to the constitutionality of them being able to come, is that if they have already been waiting, that on average it takes about 2 years for someone to go through the refugee system,
mm-hmm.
whether they're coming to the U.S. or even going to another country. They usually end up in a third-party country like Austria, or sometimes they'll end up in Turkey, and then they're vetted by U.S. immigration authorities. If they have to wait another 60 or 90 days, and if they're not in a war zone, there's ways for us to ensure that they will still be safe, but we can make sure that we do our due diligence to to ensure that the country will be safe by vetting them appropriately.
Well, President Obama said it was a three-year process. He said that back in February of last year. And by the end of the year, fourth quarter of 2016, we have refugees, 10,000 refugees coming to the country. And we go, what happened to 3 years? You know, other than he just said, hey, it's 3 years. He didn't say that, hey, there was already a vetting process taking, you know, had already been going on. And, you know, maybe somehow he felt like he was going to break it to us gently. I have no idea what his intent was, but the actual act and the implementation of his program, and now 10,000 refugees coming to this country, it's like, whoa, you know, what do we have here? And then, of course, then you start picking up, you know, the other bits of information about what's happening in these UN refugee camps. And you question, you say, well, whoa, the people that are getting pulverized here are Christians, and, you know, only about 2% of the refugees that are coming into the country are Christian. So what is wrong with this picture? Are we not supposed to ask that question?
No, I think that at the end of his term, he was realizing that the political expediency of allowing, first, his legacy in his mind to be sealed, and second, to bend U.S. immigration law were more important than him than for allowing a sustainable process of people coming to this country, especially after Trump won the election. We saw that with dozens of other executive orders, regulations. Immigration was no different. Obama tried to put into a system that Trump would have to have a harder time sort of going back in the onion that was created for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that Trump now is dealing with the tatters of the failed Obama national security strategy. And it's going to take us a while to get out of it, but at least get the right attempt.
Good point. Greg, you know, what I have found, and see if this you know, makes sense to you, is that when we violate the rule of law, which is done, you know, throughout the whole immigration process, it becomes complex and we find ourselves trying to put the genie back in the bottle. And all of a sudden we're bad people because we want to, you know, get things back on track. In order to get things back on track, it starts with, you know, defining what the rule of law is and following it. We've abandoned the rule of law and we're paying a big price and everybody's confused and now they're crying foul because we want to implement the rule of law. Is that a fair assessment?
The rule of law, I think it is.
So obviously, you know, as we talked about before, the process can be messy. And I talk about it in terms of the grief to happiness ratio. Happiness is things are on track. Immigration is operating in a way that's win-win. It's win-win for us, we the people, and for the immigrants and refugees coming into this country so that they don't have to feel like they have to operate in the shadows and be taken advantage of. You know, that's the way I look at it. The grief part being the difference between those two means that make it difficult. What do you say?
I think that as long as we have a system that keeps Americans safe, that still gives opportunity for individuals to come to this country, those who want to pursue the American dream, and those who don't want to threaten our way of life, our culture, or impugn upon what we have as a great history of our republic, should be allowed.
Exactly. Well, the welcome mat, and I think you and I would be right there with the welcome mat for people that want to add to the proposition of this great American experiment, no doubt about it. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Lead non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the